Good morning. It's great to be with you all here this morning. It's an unusual service for us, but it's one that that I look forward to every year. And a couple of disclaimers before we begin this morning. First off, for those of you who are guests, my name is Brian Kemling. I'm one of the people who help with the youth group here at our church. I am not our normal pastor. He's sitting right there, so if this is a total flop, he's going to come and take my spot, okay? So please don't judge our church based on the performance or the quality of preaching that you get today. You have to promise and come back and try it again another Sunday, okay? Today we have our graduates with us, Ashton Hiddle, Brittany Gilkison, and Jessica Winters, and we're excited to be able to celebrate their big days together with them. Another young lady, Nicole Timmy, has been part of our youth group for the last 6 years, and a lot of you know Nicole. If you happen to see her today, be sure and offer your congratulations to Nicole as well. She's with her family this morning worshiping over at the Wesleyan Church, so be thinking of Nicole today as well as these three young ladies. Now, on Monday, earlier this week, Brittany heard that I was going to be delivering the message, and she got this big smile on her face. And if you know Brittany, that's pretty much normal operating procedure for her. And I didn't quite know how to take that, you know. I thought, well, maybe she's excited because she really likes what I have to say, and she thinks she might learn something today. Or maybe she's excited because she knows, wow, we're going to get out early, you know. I'm gonna just delude myself and assume that it's because she really wants to hear what I have to say, all right? So, in preparing for this sermon over the last couple of weeks, it's become apparent to me once again that number one, I am completely inadequate to be doing this. I am very lacking. But at the same time, it was reinforced to me once again that I serve a God who lacks nothing, and a God who is completely adequate. So before we begin looking in the scripture this morning, let's go to him in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity we have to spend time in your word to encourage these graduates, Lord. And Father, I pray that this message would benefit not only them, that it would challenge not only them, Lord, but that it would challenge all of us. Help us all to leave here today with a better understanding of your word, a better understanding of how we should apply that in our daily lives. Father, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today's message I've titled Pursuing Excellence. And this message is addressed specifically to our graduates, to Ashton, Brittany, and Jessica. But it does have application to all of us. I was very convicted as I studied the scriptures preparing for this, and I hope that you're challenged as well as we go about this. So the topic is excellence in what we do and say, and I want to spend some time considering the pursuit of excellence in our daily lives. Now, the Oxford Dictionary defines excellence for us. It says that excellence is the quality of being outstanding or extremely good. And excellence from the viewpoint of the world is defined typically in terms of competition, in terms of surpassing others, usually for self-glory or for a sense of significance, or to achieve the praise or applause of other people. That's the world's definition of excellence. But the biblical definition is very much different than that. From a biblical perspective, excellence is a virtue. And we as disciples of Jesus should cultivate this virtue and learn to pursue excellence at all times. Whether we're doing laundry, studying for a big final exam, running a business, or spending time with the grandkids, we are to do it all for the glory of God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." In a similar passage, Colossians, Paul writes in chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." The Bible is very, very clear. In all things, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, We who have repented of our sins and placed our faith and hope in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are to pursue excellence for the glory of God. Now, the pursuit of excellence is a direction. It's not a destination. Let me repeat that. It's a direction of our lives. It's not a destination. You will never have arrived. Just like as believers, we never will arrive to the point where we're there. We are just like Christ. We're never going to be there. But that doesn't mean we should stop trying. The pursuit of excellence is something we must continue to do until God calls us home. There's no retirement for pursuing excellence. There's no retirement from being a disciple of Jesus. We are to be the best we can be as we daily serve our Lord, regardless of what stage in life we're in, and regardless of what circumstances surround us. Now, you might be thinking, but Brian, you know, I don't feel like giving it my all today. I don't want to go serve that person in need. I don't want to get up early and spend time reading the Bible. Why should I pursue excellence? That seems like a lot of work. Like any good teacher, I'm going to answer that question with a couple of questions of my own. Question number one, how much do you love God? Another question, how thankful are we for what God has done for us? Let's remind ourselves of that. John 3:16. I should make you guys say it out loud with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God has showed his love for us. He has displayed it. He has expressed it. How could he have done it any better than the manner in which he did? So how should we respond to that display of his love? How do we express our gratitude and love back toward our Creator? I would suggest that the pursuit of excellence in our daily lives is an important expression of our love for God. 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Choosing to obey God's commands is an expression of our love toward him. The pursuit of excellence refers to pursuing and doing the best we can with the gifts and abilities God has given us, giving our best for the glory of God. Now Solomon, and we've talked about Solomon in youth group a little bit, wisest guy who ever lived, the richest guy who ever lived, the guy who God poured blessings upon blessings out on, he wrote this in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Sheol simply means the grave. And Solomon, the writer of Ecclesiastes, instructs us that whatever your hand finds you to do, do it with your might. Don't do it in a half-hearted effort. There is much to be done for God before our time on earth is done. Now, Ashton, Brittany, Jessica, you guys are young and healthy. But let me tell you from someone who's a little more seasoned than you are, when you get a few gray hairs on your head like I do, you know, one or two, or a whole beard full, when you become old like me, you begin to understand more truly the truth that everyone has an expiration date. We will all stand before our Creator someday and give an account for the life that he gave to us. So why should you pursue excellence? Number one, because God commands us to. Number two, we should pursue excellence as a natural outflowing in recognition and in thankfulness for what he has done for us. And number three, time is short. We will give an account. So you're sitting there now thinking, okay, Brian, fine. We'll pursue excellence. We'll do the best we can. But is that easy? Is that an easy task to do? No, it is not. The pursuit of excellence has a cost that some are not willing to pay. The pursuit of excellence will require sacrifice. And the pursuit of excellence always requires commitment. Humanly speaking, excellence may be difficult to achieve, but that should not stop us from trying. Listen to this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, in this chapter, Paul is explaining the resurrection of Christ and then ultimately our resurrection as believers. And then he concludes with this section at the end of chapter 15. This is verses 50 through 58. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. That last verse, be steadfast and immovable. That implies there's going to be forces pushing against us, trying to keep us from pursuing excellence, from pursuing our Lord and Savior Jesus. Pursuing excellence will not be easy, just like being a disciple is not easy, a disciple of Jesus. But we should always work enthusiastically for the Lord, because we know that nothing done for the Lord is useless. Nothing, the last part of that verse, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Pursuing excellence should not be limited by the nature of the task. We should strive for our best, whether we're cleaning up the kitchen downstairs, singing praise songs to Him, or teaching a Sunday school class. Nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless, as long as you're doing it for His glory. So maybe you're sitting there thinking, Brian, that sounds way too hard. You know, I really don't feel like pursuing excellence. I'm fine with just getting by. After all, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm going to get into heaven, right? Are there consequences for not pursuing excellence? I believe that there are. And if you'd turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, we're going to look here at consequences of not pursuing the Lord with everything we can muster. Revelation chapter 3. I picked Revelation as our main passage so that, you know, you guys would be able to find it easily. So trying to help you out there. Don't want you to have to think too hard, since you've had to do that a lot the last couple of weeks. Revelation chapter 3, we're going to read about the church in Laodicea, and we'll start in verse 15. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourselves, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to appoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. This was written by the Lord through the hand of John to the church in Laodicea. Laodicea at the time was a very, very wealthy, industrious city located what's modern-day Turkey. And the book of Revelation begins with specific instructions written to seven different churches, and he concludes with this church in Laodicea. But in contrast to the other six churches, this message to this church has nothing commendable to say. It is all rebuke. The previous six churches that John addresses, they all start with, you're doing this great, but you need to fix this. This church, there's nothing commendable said about it. The message here begins with condemnation. Jesus emphasizes their lukewarm, apathetic nature three times. As a result of their indifference to spiritual things, Jesus would have nothing to do with them. He would spit them out. With their apathy came a spiritual blindness. They claimed to be rich, blessed, and self-sufficient. Now, perhaps they were rich in material things, but spiritually, the Laodiceans were in a wretched, pitiful condition, made all the worse in that they could not even see their need. This was a church filled with self-deceived hypocrites. They thought they were Christians, but Christ would have nothing to do with them. The church at Laodicea was neither cold, openly rejecting Christ, nor hot, or filled with spiritual zeal. I believe there's many churches in America like that today. We put on our church clothes. We use our church vocabulary. We put on our church smiles. But the other 6 days of the week, we look just like unbelievers. If we choose not to pursue excellence, if we choose to just coast along as a Christian, we are extremely vulnerable to becoming lukewarm, just like this church. In fact, I would argue that merely coasting along, merely going through the motions, will almost guarantee that we will become lukewarm. And that's a dangerous position to be in. I don't know about you, but I sure don't want Jesus to spit me out of his mouth. The consequences for not pursuing excellence are severe. If we choose not to pursue excellence, we are choosing a bland Christian life. If we choose not to pursue excellence, we are choosing a vanilla Christian life. If we choose not to pursue excellence, we are choosing a lukewarm Christian life. Friends, the pursuit of excellence will give us passion. It will light our fire. The pursuit of excellence will keep us from just drifting through our days. We must pursue excellence in all that we do and all that we say. God wants us, his people, to excel in both what we are, our inward character, and in what we do, our behavior and our deeds. All right, Brian, so you've convinced us that we should pursue excellence. I get it. We'll do our best, all right? But how do we know what's excellent? Is there a criteria for that? You know, the world says one thing, the Bible says another. How do we determine that? I'm glad you asked. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 gives us the answer. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. How do we know what's excellent? That verse says, with knowledge and all discernment. Knowledge and discernment. The only place to find that is in God's holy word. As someone who's been to college lots and lots of years ago, I promise you it will not come through your college classes. It will not come through your peers. It will not come through TV or Hollywood. I guarantee you that. The only perfect source for knowledge and discernment is God himself. Ashton, Brittany, Jessica, immerse yourselves in this book, and you will know what is excellent. Become well-studied in this book. Spend time on your knees before the Lord. Spend time with other believers. Make it the number one priority when you leave home or you go off to college to find a church family. Being a Christian is not a solo mission. We're in this fight together. Find a church home. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Just a fantastic beginning of the book of Psalms. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. Do you have a desire to be blessed? Do you have a desire to be that picture of that tree standing strong in the storm? His word holds the key. Delight yourself in the law of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us, now you ought to walk and to please God just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. Ashton, Brittany, Jessica, you guys have been taught by your parents and by this church family how you ought to walk and to please God. Now it's your choice. Whether you're daily going to choose to do that or if you're going to reject the Lord and go your own way. Just like it's my choice and every other believer's choice to daily choose whether we're going to follow this word or if we're going to do our own thing. And if you're here with me this morning and you're not a believer in Jesus, you're not a follower, you don't have that choice. You are a slave to sin. And I pray before you leave today, please come talk to me, come talk to Pastor Jonathan. We would love to show you how you can get out from that slavery, from that bondage, and have the freedom to make that choice every day, whether I'm going to follow Christ or I'm going to follow my own path. I pray that we will all choose wisely as we make that decision. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 38 reads, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." If we truly love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our mind, then we must seek to do our best. We must pursue excellence. Our pursuit of excellence must be motivated by our love for God. Our values, our priorities, and our motives must align with God's will and God's word. The pursuit of excellence is in keeping with the biblical goal of spiritual growth and greater levels of spiritual maturity. I'll close with this. Because of who we are in Christ, because of our eternal hope, because of the enabling grace of God, because of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we must pursue excellence. The pursuit of excellence is a direction we must take. It is an indicator of our spiritual maturity. Finally, let me leave you with these words from William Tyndale, who said, "God gives no man his grace that he should let it lie still and do no good as a result, but that he should increase it and multiply it and show it to others and openly declare it, so that outward works provoke and draw others to God." Ashton, Brittany, Jessica, show God's grace to others by choosing to pursue excellence with your lives. I love you guys, and your church family loves you. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you again for this morning and this opportunity to address specifically these graduates, Lord, but all of us. Lord, I pray that we would all be challenged, that we would choose not to just go through the motions, Father, that we would not be like that church in Laodicea, Lord, that we would honor you and please you and serve you in a way that is worthy. Lord, thank you for these graduates. Thank you for the blessing that they are to this church body. Thank you for the blessing that they have been to me over the years, Lord. I just pray your hand upon them, that you would go with them. Lord, that they would remember your word, that they would spend time daily in your word, Father, that they would get involved in campus ministry opportunities and a local church body. Father, may your hand guide and direct them and protect them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And at this time, I'm going to invite Levi to come up, and also our graduates. If you guys would come up, Levi has a little gift he's going to present to you, and then you will have an opportunity, if you'd like to say a couple words to the congregation, that would be great.
First things first. Ashton?
Hi, I'm Ashton. I'm graduating today, so I'm pretty excited. Mostly, I just want my diploma. Anyways, I'm going to Butler Community College, and I'm going to be living with my parents, and they're going to be in Peabody with my grandparents, and I'll be traveling 30 minutes, you know, every day to go to Butler. I'm going to get my gen eds out of the way and possibly go into clinical psychology. So.
Hi, I'm Brittany. I'm going to Fort Hays State University. I will be living in the dorms for my first year. I plan on going into radiology, so I'm going to work on some gen eds, but also do some prerequisite classes for radiology. And I thank you guys for all your support.
Hi, I'm Jessica. I'm going to apprentice as a tattoo artist and continue to pursue my love for art. Thank you all for coming.
That's all we have for gifts and presentation. Up to Jonathan.
If you would, please, let's bow together as we pray for these young ladies. Our Father, we come to you today as the faithful one who has proven yourself time and again. For centuries upon centuries, for millennia upon millennia, and even into eternity past when there was no time, you alone were faithful. As we come to days like today and we look back at all that you have done in sustaining these students and getting them through difficult days and certainly in school and teenage years are not easy, particularly those who claim the name of Christ. It's not easy to stand for the gospel and stand for the God behind the gospel when you are continually being subjected to the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. But we thank you for these young ladies who have stood squarely upon their faithful God. We thank you this morning that as they look back, they can trace the hand of God. We cannot always see it in the moment. We cannot always see it in the present. We don't always know what you're doing, but we can always look back and see that you were faithful in all that you did. And I pray for them, we pray for them today as a church body, that they would rest, that they would lay back in their past experience of a faithful God as they go forward. As they step into a summer of transition and as they move toward the years of college, the years of university, that they would stand squarely on the God who has continually been faithful to them. That they would find their hope in Him. That they would recognize, even Lord, audibly, even verbally, even orally, that they would look in the mirror at times and say, God has never failed you, and He's not going to begin today. That they would find their feet planted squarely in the faithfulness of God. May they rise every morning with the words of the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, dripping from their lips. Lord, today we are thankful for your sustaining and satisfying grace. We are thankful that, as Newton said, it is your grace that has brought them safe thus far, and we rest on your grace to take them safely home. We thank you this morning, for parents, aunts and uncles, grandparents, church influences who have poured into their lives, who have taught them the Word of God, who have prayed for them. On a day like today, so often, Lord, the focus is on the students, and we forget that it's parents and grandparents, it's aunts and uncles, it's brothers and sisters who have sustained them sometimes through prayer. It's church families. It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes a church. We thank you, Lord, for this church who has gathered up underneath these young ladies. We are thankful for your sustaining grace. We are thankful for parents who have invested. And today we pray for just a few things. Number one, we pray that, yes, they would enjoy today. Today is a day to enjoy. As Ashton said, she just wants the piece of paper. Lord, I pray that moment would just be everything that she has dreamed it would be. Father, there's going to come a moment when that paper hits the palm, the fingers wrap around, and they walk off that stage. What then? Lord, your word says in Proverbs 9 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Father, what we pray this morning for Ashton, what we pray this morning for Brittany, what we pray this morning for Jessica, what we pray this morning for Nicole, is that they would obey the command of Peter to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for these four young ladies that you would make them women of the book. As Brian has said this morning, I pray that they would bury their lives deep into the Word of God. So many books, they think they've read a lot. They don't know the half of it. When they get to college, they're going to be inundated with stuff to read. And the easiest thing in the world is going to be to crowd out the Word. Oh God, may they make the commitment before you this morning, right here, right now, that nothing will ever crowd out the Word of God. May they be ladies of the Bible. And may they be women on their knees. May they be women of prayer. May they be in constant communion with you. And Father, as they are on their knees before their Bibles, we ask thirdly that you would equip them. God, they have no idea what's coming. We do. We've been there. They are getting ready to cross intellectual swords with men and women who have been trained to tear down everything that their parents have built for 18 years. Everything that their churches have built into them for 18 years. Trained to do that in less than a year and a half. So that by the middle of their sophomore year, they are rebuilt as someone completely different. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, would you build a hedge of protection around these young ladies? Bind up their minds. Steal them, oh God, in your word, that they may stand against the fiery wiles of the devil. And as Brian said so well, oh God, provide for them a church where they are going. A church that preaches the gospel. The gospel that both saves and sanctifies, and a church that teaches the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept. Oh God, we commend them into your care, and we ask that you would protect them, that you would provide for them. We pray, Father, that they would constantly be reminded by your Holy Spirit, if they know you as Savior and Lord, that they wear your name. And what they do, where they go, who they're with, is a reflection on Christ. May they walk in holiness as women of your word and women of prayer. We pray these things in Jesus' name.